Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, January 19th. This show brought to you each and every weekday by Hilbing Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Well, this is the third Tuesday of the month, and that means traditionally we talk with Dr. Brandon Breening from Breening Total Wellness Clinic right here in Quincy, Illinois. And today is no different, although the doctor is not in. He's calling us over the phone line. Good morning, Dr. Brandon.
Good morning.
Are you at home, at the office, or in a remote, undesignated location?
I am calling you from Hannibal.
Okay, you've got to take your kids down there, don't you?
I did.
Good.
My wife was asked to be a confirmation sponsor for our niece, so she went to Byron yesterday, and she's not back yet because it's 5 hours away, and so I am down here with the kids today.
You are playing a parent in charge of the Breening children. Well, let's talk a little bit today about our health. Dr. Breening, I was quite disheartened this morning. There's a new study out of the United Kingdom that says if you've already had COVID, you have a great chance that you'll get sick again from a COVID-related brain, lung, kidney, or other organ illness. And they're saying that 1 in 8 people who survived COVID the first time, now that they're doing these studies, they're finding they're having a delayed death. So I wasn't real happy to read those statistics this morning. Having survived COVID, I thought I had turned the corner. But like any illness, it can often have problems that hurt our heart, hurt our brain, hurt our lungs, hurt our kidneys for I guess, years to come.
Yeah, it certainly can. You know, there are definitely diseases that eat away at us slowly. And we don't know enough about this one to say what it does for sure, you know. I found a different study out of England that said that most people have antibodies have antibodies for months, 6 months.
Good.
Which is good. But it seems to be slightly less effective than the vaccine, which I found to be interesting. But I suppose that probably also goes with the fact that the disease itself can vary so much in people. You know, some people, all they lose is smell. You know, their body doesn't have a big antibody response to this bacteria because it's not a big deal for them. Whereas other people that get worse symptoms, their body is obviously mounting a larger response to this.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you're such a good scientist to have on at this time, because we don't really want to talk about COVID-19 so much today. I just brought that up. Of course, we don't really know. It's been so quick. You know, we really have only had this in our world population for a year, so these studies will continue to come out. But this brings to mind a lot of people just neglect their health, and they have a condition. It might be diabetes. It might be obesity. They may have a lung problem where they're constantly getting bronchitis. From a chiropractor standpoint, from a wholeness and wellness standpoint, this is where we really need to pay attention and get treated, get to our primary care physician and get to our chiropractor so that we can get on a treatment regimen so we'll get back to wellness. Just not being sick isn't really enough, is it, Dr. Breening?
No, well, I mean, I guess it is for some people, but I don't want to live that way, you know. Let's get healthier, right? You know, when I was in high school and my friends decided to take up cool habits like smoking, they'd say things like, I'd say, but it takes the last 10 years off your life. And they'd say, yeah, but those last 10 years are horrible anyway. and that logic didn't really go for me, like, you know. Yeah, so you're just moving those 10 years forward, buddy. So we've got to be healthier and be more proactive and do the things. You know, it's harder and harder to be healthier the more junk that's going on. Now, a lot of laws have been in place to get a lot of the fumes out of the air. We certainly breathe better air than they did in industrial England, but the air that we breathe now still has stuff in it. The soil tends to be more depleted. I have a nutrition teacher who says that everyone in the world, everybody in our country, should be on a multivitamin because they just don't. The soil doesn't have the nutrients that it had before. And I'm no farmer, so I can't tell you if that's 100% true or not, but I certainly see benefits from people that do take multivitamins.
Well, right. I mean, you know, it may not be that it has no nutrients, but some of the micronutrients difficult, you know, to tell. And, you know, it's amazing with these farmers now with their fertilization programs, with these computers on their tractors, they can tell exactly how much fertilizer is needed in a spot area on their field. You know, they might be using 2 gallons per acre one area and 4 gallons per acre another area and a half gallon per acre in another area. So they're watching their soil as far as what those beans and corn need to grow. So we need to watch our own bodies and make sure we have the nutrients that we have. Is that, you know, the depletion of just, like you said, our general health level. But then you also hear, well, you can't get it out of a pill. So give us the scientific explanation there, Dr. Brandon. Yes, I know I should eat beets and carrots and kale, disgusting, and lima beans, and I should have all of these things in my diet, and I should be eating all these healthy fruits and vegetables and all this fresh, natural food to have a healthy lifestyle. But I'm probably not going to do that. So is it possible just to pop a pill, pop a multivitamin, or will we always be missing trace elements that can only be received through chewing our food?
So the history major in me likes to point out that isn't it amazing that we have the choice, you know, of what we can eat. You know, we can go to the supermarket. We can get what we need. Think of serfs in England 800 years ago. They were lucky to get meat. You know, they boiled their meat, which if any of us had boiled meat right now, we probably wouldn't enjoy it that much, but it lasted longer. Back to the original question, though. As far as needing to chew, yeah, chewing is very important. I would always rather you got your nutrients by eating them. But there's only so much time in the day, and there's only so much food that we can tolerate. Like, I don't like fish. If I never have to eat a fish again in my life, I will be perfectly fine with that. I know their jaws dropping right now with that. But
because it's so healthy for you.
Yes. But luckily, there's fish oil. Take fish oil. Some people don't like fish oil because they burp it up later, but I've found if you throw it in the freezer and you get a really good fish oil, you don't have those burps. Also, those burps can sometimes tell you that you may have a gallbladder problem. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
So you know that you need what's in fish, so you just go out and try to supplement it through high-quality micronutrients and vitamins. Parents should probably understand that they should try to feed their children and themselves healthy, nutritious food. But if the kid will not eat it, or, for example, maybe if they have a milk allergy or something, if they will not drink it, they've got to get it somewhere else. You can't just say, my child doesn't like spinach, therefore I'm never going to worry about the nutrient in spinach.
Right. It needs to be, you know, I've often said another weird thing, again, history major in college that gets to me is anymore, because of the way our nutrition is done, poor people, you see poor people and they're obese.
Yeah.
Throughout history, you never thought of a poor person. You know, it used to be the rich people were obese because they had the money to sit around and not do anything. Diabetes for years was a rich person's disease. But the food that we get now, it doesn't have a lot of nutrients in it, but it has a lot of calories. When you get calories without nutrients, your brain says, I need nutrients. And so your body says, I'm hungry. So you eat more of these calories without nutrients, and the cycle just continues on and on. People that eat whole foods tend to need less food to eat. They're more satisfied with what they get.
We really do live in an amazing country where our poor people are fat. I mean, and yet that doesn't mean they're healthy. And so, you know, in the old days, the Rubenesque woman, you know, the sign of a beautiful woman was she, you know, was married to or belonged to a family that was wealthy enough that she could have her double chin and, you know, she could have her little pot belly. And that was a sign of great wealth and affluence, and that she was sturdy enough to bear children and all this other stuff. Well, times have changed for sure. I have always wanted to ask you this question. When I volunteer at school for the little kids, some of them are so painfully thin, and yet they will not eat their lunch. And I see them kind of become lethargic after lunch, you know. They don't seem to have eaten much. Do children innately understand that food makes them feel better, or is that something we have to tell them? Because to me, these kids are so thin, I would think they'd be hungry and would want to eat. And we're not talking about, like, making them eat all their lima beans. I'm talking about they will pick around even at hamburgers or, you know, even potatoes.
Even potatoes.
Well, most kids will eat French fries and tater tots and mashed potatoes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So what do kids, how old are you when you realize that putting something in my mouth makes my tummy feel better, makes me feel better, makes me have enough energy to go out and play baseball?
Well, you know, innately we know when we need something in our bellies. I mean, this is babies crying, right? They cry because they know that they need nutrients in their belly. As we get older, we tend to kind of lose touch with that sense. And some of that may be, you know, just the society we live in. Again, since when did we have to have 3 square meals a day? When was that a rule? The thing I read on it said it came from Victorian English people who said that only savages didn't have 3 meals a day. So you know, eating through, you don't necessarily need 3 meals a day. You may need 6 meals a day,
right,
but they're really
yeah.
small, right? You
yeah.
may need 1 meal a day, but it's large enough to suffice for a 24-hour period. You know, one of the interesting things that happens to our bodies as we get hungry is not initially. Initially, you have a lethargy and a fog, but if you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, your brain actually starts to get sharper. You start to be more clear and to think more clearly. Some people would say that this is the junk getting out of your body, and you don't have any toxins coming in, so your liver is able to clean things up. And that may be all true, but I think it's more of an innate survival mechanism, right?
Right.
If our body starts to fall apart when we don't have food, we're never going to be able to get more food if we have to hunt our food. So the body actually
cleans
up and thinks about that.
It
says, hey,
yeah, I can't control everything else. Just send everything to my brain, right?
Right. The brain is your biggest consumer of energy.
Yeah, the last stand. So what do you recommend? I know that at your office you sell vitamins and nutraceuticals and things like that, so we're not making this an advertisement that you have to go to Breening Total Wellness Center, although I'm sure you'd welcome that. But when
Don't,
you say,
not today, though.
Yeah, not today. You're not there. I mean, is a good old, you know, brand name like One A Day or Centrum? I mean, what do you think people should do? Because I look at my bottle of Centrum Silver, and it's got 300% of something and then only 4% of something else. It's like, well, the stuff, you know, there's some stuff in there that I'm not getting enough of out of that one pill. So, you know, what do you recommend we take?
Well, now, some of those things that you're only getting 4% of might be something that in our diet we get a lot of. And these are also recommended daily allowances for vitamins are the minimal amount that a person needs to not be sick. So the other thing you have to look at is the tolerable upper limit if you're worried about something of how much am I taking too much, right? So if you look at B vitamin supplements, the recommended daily allowance is really low. So if you're looking at like a B12, you may grab a B12 supplement, and it may say that you're getting 12,000% of your recommended Bs. Well, for one, you're going to urinate out a lot of whatever's extra in there. So that's not a worry because B is a water-soluble vitamin. But the other thing is you're still not coming close to your tolerable upper limit on that. It's really hard to get to your tolerable upper limit on a B because you're going to pee it out. But vitamin D, E, K, those do have tolerable upper limits. And your trace minerals like magnesium, zinc, you can certainly overdo those in time. So I think I got sidetracked to your question.
Well, I mean, what should I do? I go to the pharmacy or
right.
to the drugstore. Is Centrum Silver? Do I pick out one a day? Do I get Geritol? Do I go and say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K? I'm buying a bottle of every single one of them and taking a pill a day. Because when you go to and I've been to your office and seen your shelf, there are about 1,000 bottles. And so I'm not buying 1,000 bottles. So,
well, no, that's why you should talk to somebody about what you need, right? If you're just looking for a good one a day that covers a lot of things, one of the things some people like to do is to see how well it dissolves in water. Your stomach isn't water, so if it does dissolve in water, it will certainly dissolve in your stomach. But you've got to watch some of these things. So, because some of these things, you know, you hear stories of, well, I worked for Scotty's Soddy's, and every time I empty them out, there's about 1,000 Centrum Silver sitting in there. So the absorbability is important because you want to get what you need nutrient-wise.
Well, I thank you so much for the Scotty Potty reference, Doctor.
You're welcome.
I can't tell you
I'm
what
here
that's
to
done
enlighten
for me.
And help with serious problems.
Wow. Okay. So the bottom line is consult with your physician or with your chiropractor. Get
right.
a good quality supplement. And you do blood testing on people. So very rarely do you find somebody, you've got too much vitamin D. Don't take any more. But, you know, I mean, you can tell
happens.
People what they're low on.
Right. And, you know, the thing, too, if you can go out and do the research and look at what's best absorbed and all that, or you can just trust somebody to tell you, right? The reason that I carry the stuff that I carry is because I know it works. I trust it, right? My vitamin D might be more expensive than the vitamin D that you can get at the store, but I know my vitamin D works. I've seen the research that the companies have done on it. So that's an important thing too, is to know your source. You can certainly do all the research and follow it around yourself, but if you don't want to do that, well, trust somebody that does.
Okay.
So.
Also, I don't want to go through my stool and see if there's a Centrum Silver left over. Okay.
Is that make that bear sense show?
Oh, boy, you have not scored points, Doctor. It's always great. I hear small children screaming in the background. They either need your attention or they're taking care of their own problems, and the weakest link is being killed off.
It's turning into Lord of the Flies here, Mary. So
it's survival of the fittest.
One kid has crafted a spear out of a table leg. So
I don't think when your wife puts you in charge, she meant for you to talk on the radio for a half an hour and leave the children to their own devices. So in honor of your wife, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. And folks, remember, you're probably deficient in many vitamins and minerals and micronutrients. So find out today what you need. Thank you so much, Dr. Breening.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Dr. Brandon Breening. We've got about 20 minutes left and open phone time is here. Dial right now. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? You're going to be like glued to the radio waiting for breaking news? Are you going to sit home all day watching CNN and Fox waiting for a disaster to occur? Is it like NASCAR? I love to go, but I'm really waiting for the wreck. Or do you think that tomorrow's inauguration will, you know, or when is it? Is it tomorrow or Thursday, the inauguration? I guess Thursday. Whatever. Are you waiting for this, like a NASCAR wreck to happen, or what is your thought process on that? I'd be interested. I'd be interested in anything you have to say. So give me a call right now at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. 223-9300, what's on your mind? Something good, something bad, something urgent? Interestingly enough, I don't know that COVID has slowed down in the Quincy area, but suddenly everything's open. So they're watching these biometrics, I'm sure. Something happened to make that decision. I don't know what that was. Good morning. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Some of my neighbors and I have talked to our state senator regarding semis being allowed now on State Street and South 24th Street. And they've been directing them there instead of taking them to Broadway. And I'm concerned about all the kids in the school zones, churches, and that the roads aren't really made for these large semis, and they are speeding. They're not going the speed limit.
Well, I see that a lot. Now, so these are semi-trucks hooked to a trailer, in other words.
Right.
Right.
They put new signs up about a year ago directing them from Route 96 to continue down South 24th Street. Those signs weren't there before, and we still haven't heard back from the state yet and Jill Tracy's office, but it is a big problem, especially on State Street where there are no sidewalks.
Right.
And semis are zooming by while I've seen people on their bikes and carriages and strollers. It's just a problem.
Yeah, I wonder why IDOT is doing that. So in other words, that's interesting. That would be an Illinois Department of Transportation decision. I can tell you that right now. But I'm sure Jill Tracy's office could help you with that.
Talking to them, waiting for an answer back from them. But I thought the city should be aware of it, too. It's very dangerous.
What part of State Street? Because I'm trying to picture this in my mind. And, of course, there's lots of listeners who are listening that aren't familiar. Mm-hmm. So Highway 96 is basically
It is 24th Street, North 24th Street. But about a year ago, they put up signs directing them not to turn on Broadway and go out to 36th Street. Instead, they had signs for them to go straight on South 24th.
Right, because really 36th Street, 96 mm-hmm. is 36th Street.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, first of all, people go way too fast in town. I see this all the time when I drive home. I drive home on 4th Street North, which is a one-way street. And, until you get past Locust, it's all residential. And
right.
People are just, they're going 50, 60 miles an hour. There's
yeah.
just no impedance there whatsoever. In fact, if you drive 30, you're almost afraid that you're going to get rammed by a big truck coming up behind you. I always put my cruise control on. I know that sounds silly, but I'm so afraid I'll speed. On the way mm-hmm. into work in the morning, there's nobody around me, so I put my cruise on. And on the
right.
way home from work, I'm afraid I'll speed. And so mm-hmm. I've always got that cruise on at 30. And, boy, I tell you, everybody's passing me. So, well, you've done the right thing. You've advocated. You've gone to your state senator. Her office should be able to help you, at least get an answer. But, yeah, the Illinois Department of Transportation made that decision, and you'd have to understand why they made that decision.
Especially at State Street and 24th, if you look at the intersection, it is not made for large semis to make turns.
No.
And they have them turning left to go on State Street out to 36th Street, which, as we told Jill Tracy's office, it makes no sense.
That's a very narrow road.
They should just direct on Broadway to 36th Street.
State Street between 24th and 36th is a narrow road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe they were tired of them causing too many wrecks at 36th and Broadway, they said, or 24th and Broadway. They said, let's push it over on State Street. But thank you so much for your thoughtful call. I appreciate it. I can't help you. But you've made people aware.
You made it out there.
That's what it's all about. Thank you so
much. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your phone call. Boy, now see, I love that. She is an engaged and aware citizen. Coming up Friday on the Mary Griffith Show, I'm going to have both candidates for mayor on the Republican primary ticket. Mike Trope will be here, as will Paul Havermail. And one of them, of course, will win the primary and go on to face who wins the Democratic primary. And so we'll talk about that on Friday morning. And then on Monday, we're going to have the man who played in the NFL, a guy who knows what it's all about to be a football star in the NFL, Jack, what's his last name? I'll get it. Jack, you know, the football coach at Notre Dame. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Cornell. Duh. Sorry about that, Jack. Good morning. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm concerned about the Woodland Cemetery. They're on the northwest corner. It's starting to erode pretty bad off the bluff, and it's caved off. They put a temporary fence up in the cemetery that blocks people from getting too close to the edge, and I know of a person's grave is on the other side of that fence. And so the city, that's city owned. They need to build a wall or have an engineer make an assessment of what needs to be done there and get on it before we have a serious cave off and exposes graves.
Yeah,
so,
it's a mess. The problem, of course, is it's the city owned. That's a unique cemetery because, you know, if there's a problem at Calvary Cemetery, I don't expect the city to solve it. If there's a problem at Greenmount Cemetery, it's not the city's responsibility to solve it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting that, do you think there could be some kind of assessment put on all the people who own graves out there to pay for it themselves? Or?
Well, it's such an old cemetery.
Yeah.
It's 170 years old. People are not going to. Yeah, most of the people in there probably are not going to be have any family left to assess.
Yeah, that's an interesting constituency, isn't it? Dead
yes,
people.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the city's responsibility to take care of that. But I bet you they get more phone calls about a pothole in front of their street than they do about that problem at Woodland. But you're right. It's the city's responsibility to take care of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I talked to my alderman about it, and Jeff Bergman, and he said that the city is aware of it, and they've had some assessment there, and figured a wall would cost $700,000. And so, you know, the budget in Quincy, Illinois is pretty tight right now.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that you know, an ounce of prevention might be prevent a pound of problems.
That's true. Well, we've got another caller. Thank you so very much for your input today. We'll keep an eye on Woodland Cemetery. This caller has waited patiently. Good morning. You're going to be the last caller of the day. What's on your mind?
The lady that called in about 96 Highway coming to State Street.
Right.
I'm over 70 years old, and that is the original 96 route. It comes in on North 24th Street, through Quincy to State Street, turns left, went out to 36, went around the curve out to the what we call the old airport,
right,
now where the school's at, and that is the original 96, and those signs have been there forever and ever and ever.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm 70, and since I started driving at 16, that's the 96 route through Quincy.
Yeah, it is Highway 96, but is that the best route for trucks to take, I guess, is what she's saying.
Well, probably not now. At the time, there was no other better route.
Right.
That was the best route through Quincy. And nobody's ever said anything to change it.
Okay. Thank you very much for enlightening us. Thank you.
And there's one other thing. When people come up the hill at the bridge, the ramp to the right is a yield sign, not a stop sign. That's for semis so they don't tear their trucks up. They stop up on top of the hill and then merge with traffic.
Okie doke.
People are stopping in front of trucks and about causing wrecks.
Okay, I got to let you go. We're out of time. Good conversation.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.